A reading from Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to those that are oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to release to the prisoners. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall be exalted in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. The word of God, the word of life.
Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I know who is driving you crazy this season. Or at least I'm pretty sure I do. I think I've got a good idea. The person who is making you a little bit nuts in this run-up to Christmas. And I suspect it is that friend or family member whom you love and care about, that you want to give them a nice gift for Christmas, but they've told you, oh, no, I don't need anything. No, I don't want anything. Don't get me a thing. And you know there is no way you are not getting this person something for Christmas. And all they do is tell you no, and there's no ideas. Have any of you have that person in your life? Are any of you that person? Yeah, okay, yep, Now, Advent, in a lot of ways, is like that experience right there. If you don't feel the need for anything, then what's the point of hoping, or longing, or desiring? Why wait with expectation if you've got it all? And so part of the job of Advent as a season is to stir up in us a greater awareness of our need for the Christ child, and to make us realize that not only does this world need Jesus, because I think that's sometimes easy for us to say, oh, the world needs Jesus, but to see that we ourselves need Jesus. And that's why I want us to look at the words from Isaiah this morning. Because that prophet, he is offering some amazing promises in that 61st chapter. Gladness, good news, freedom, comfort. But what I want you to think about is who gets that good news? Who's on the receiving end of these promises? And another way of asking this is, who are the seasons of Advent and Christmas for, anyway? And when you look at it at first, it actually kind of sounds like a good Advent downer. The oppressed, the brokenhearted, prisoners and captives, mourners. Now, all of those, I want you to know, they have a two-level meaning. On the one hand, they are spiritual terms. And what I mean by that is captives. We are captive to the reality of death. oppression. We are oppressed by sin, by our own and by the sins of others. But all of these are also very literal. Isaiah was talking about people actually in physical chains of captivity. He was talking about people who were literally oppressed. And this year of the Lord's favor that he talks about, that is most probably a reference to the Old Testament law of Jubilee. Have you heard about the Old Testament Jubilee? Do you know what this is? Yeah, we don't talk about this too often. This was the law that, and it varied in places from every 7 years to every 50 years, depending on the debt. But every 7 or 50 years, every debt would be canceled. And every bit of property that you had sold would be returned to you. So you get a mortgage on a house. That year of Jubilee comes and the bank looks at you and says, it's yours. That sounds kind of good, huh? You've given out a loan and it comes back to you. Or maybe you've been on the upside and you've had a chance to buy this property and this thing and that thing, and the year of Jubilee comes and says, no, you give all that back. Oh no, you give it back. Don't exchange it for the money, you give it back. Yeah, we don't talk about that too much, do we? Now, the point here is, these are real social and economic realities that Isaiah is talking about. We can't just completely spiritualize it. And the reason why the two are intertwined is anytime there is oppression or injustice, those are always symptoms of deeper spiritual illness. So, with that in mind, who are the oppressed? Well, think about those who carry heavy burdens or heavy responsibilities. We may feel oppressed by our bills, by obligations, by unrealistic expectations, either that other people put on us or that we put on ourselves. But think also of young African American men who feel forced to wear their skin color like a target. Think about police who every single day have to make split-second life and death decisions, knowing that no matter what, they're going to be criticized. Who are the brokenhearted? Well, maybe it's us when a marriage falls apart or a loved one falls ill. Who are the prisoners? Well, there are prisoners of guilt and anger and fear. But as we have come to know all too well, there are also captives who have not been freed, but have been tortured. Those who mourn don't only grieve lost loved ones, they grieve the brokenness of our world. Now, in case you haven't figured it out yet, this is all of us. As individuals, as a society, we can all find a way that we fit into this picture. The point of all this is that as Christmas draws nearer, we all need something. Our world is a mess. And often trying to deal with it, we ourselves are a mess. But here's the Advent good news. Hope is coming. Because it is exactly the captives, the oppressed, the mourners. In fact, it is the hopeless that God comes near to save. Advent is for us and for our world because we need the hope of the coming Christ. Now the problem is, way too often we think we need something else. I mean, come on, if we just got that winning lottery ticket, all our problems would go away, right? If only the right politics or protests or policies came to pass, we would have a perfect world. If we could just fix that one problem in our lives, that one problem, whatever it is, all our stress would go away, right? If we only had one more hour a day, come on, we're not asking for much, right? Just one more hour in the day, we would finally get out from underneath that to-do list. Right? No. No. None of that works. Yeah, sometimes we do need better time management or better money management. Sometimes we need better laws and better policies. But what really needs to be changed is us, human hearts. We need guilt to be washed away by forgiveness. We need a love that is big enough to drive out all our fears. We need compassion to be planted deeply in our hearts. We need souls mended and eyes opened. We need hope. We need Jesus. And that hope is coming because Christ has come. And Isaiah tells us that even the brokenhearted, even those who are bent down under life's heaviest loads and chained in the darkest prisoners will be set free, and I love this expression, will become oaks of righteousness. Just think about that image for a minute. Oaks of righteousness, strong, tall, alive, not artificially propped up, but deeply rooted and naturally sturdy, living with God's grace and glory. That oak of righteousness, that's what Jesus wants to make you into. And when we long for him, when we wait for him and recognize our need for him, and then begin to desire him, he will take what is weak and twisted and make you vibrant and strong. And if that's not enough, then Isaiah takes it one step further. They shall repair the ruined cities, he says, the devastations of many generations. Here's the challenge for us. If the gift of Advent is for the whole world, and it is, then it will only come to the world through us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to repair the devastations of our world. And that will finally and completely happen one day when he returns. But until then, we who believe in Jesus, we who are called to follow him, we are set free and commissioned and empowered and commanded by his grace to start the rebuilding now. This world needs hope. It needs joy and it needs peace, and there aren't any simple answers. Let's be honest about that. There are no simple answers for the struggles in our heart, for the struggles of our neighbors. There are no simple answers for the struggles our society faces. But when we're going to wrestle with those hard things, one thing is true, and it is simple, and that is that Jesus is the only foundation that anything eternally lasting can be built on. The answers aren't simple, but the starting place is. And God wants to give Jesus to the world through us. He wants to give the world hope through us. He wants to set prisoners free, bind up the brokenhearted, release those who are oppressed. And he wants to do it through us. So the truth today is, even if you're like that person who says, oh, I don't need anything, I'm fine, don't get me anything, you do need Jesus. And one of the most important things we can do in Advent is to pray and reflect on that need so that we can grow in our longing for Christ. Because He alone is the one who will satisfy us. And in fact, He will satisfy you so completely that you will overflow. And then the world around us, whether it's the world that thinks it's fine, and it has all the answers it needs, or whether it's the world that is beaten down in despair, the world will see that overflowing. And they'll discover that in you, God has something to give them. They'll find out that hope is coming, because Jesus is coming. May He come to us, and may He come through us to a world in need. Amen.